Okay, this evening we want to take a look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I'm taking the title for the message from the words that are found in verse 2. My soul, oh my soul. That's who we really are. Man has a body and he has a spirit, but man is a soul. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. We boast only in the Lord. We glory, as Paul said, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything and every spiritual blessing God has for guilty sinners is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we make our boast in the Lord. And that's what prompted me to read there in Philippians chapter 3. When Paul said, I count everything else lost, dung, and ruin, that I may win Christ and be found in him. I want to be found in him. Where do you want to be found when the Lord comes back? In him. In him. I want to be found in him. I like what the apostle says in Ephesians chapter 1. We bless him who had blessed us. We bless him who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified is a consuming fire. You don't want anything to do with God Almighty apart from and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? No way. No way. God's too holy and we're too sinful. We come to God in Christ. We're justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those, truly, this is the desire of those who know, reverence, and love him, is to make our boast in the Lord. Our desire in preaching is to lift up Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all unto me. We preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't preach ourselves, we preach him. As Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. So our desire in preaching the gospel is to lift up Christ and point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire in our worship is to give him all the honor and glory due unto his name. You can't overdo this. Can you give God too much glory? No, you can't. You can't give him too much praise. You can't give him too much honor. You can't believe him too much. Oh, for grace to believe him more. For grace to believe him more. Hold your place there and find... That reminds me of this Psalm 115. You remember over here in Psalm 115, verse 1? Turn over there. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Our God in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Whatsoever the Lord is pleased to do, that's what he does. Exactly. He does everything he's pleased to do. His purpose shall stand and cannot be changed. Now let's go back to verse 1. Now, we'll take a look here at verse 1 down through verse 10. David writes this Psalm when he's in trouble, when he's running from his own father-in-law, when he's fleeing for his life, when he's been run out of Jerusalem. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times, when I'm in Jerusalem or whether I'm out in the wilderness running for my own life. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My mouth. I will bless the Lord. Now, I will. He makes us willing in the day of his power. By nature, man has no will to believe the gospel, no will to come to him. Man's will is not free. Man has a will, but it's in bondage to his nature. Left to ourselves, we will not bless the Lord. But because we're made willing in the day of his power, he says, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Here's a firm, fixed resolve of every believer. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be continually in my mouth. I will and I shall. By his grace, by his grace, I will bless the Lord. What does it mean to bless the Lord? What means to believe him? It means to believe him. It means to bow before his sovereign rule. It means to submit to his lordship. It means to worship him. To bless the Lord. As David says in another psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then he says, who forgiveth all my iniquities. Think about that. He forgiveth all our iniquities. All our iniquities. I will and I shall by his grace praise the Lord and worship him. Think about this. All we are, all we have, all we know, all we ever will be is because of him. He's made us object of his love. He's made us trophies of his grace. His sovereign grace. When we talk about love, it's sovereign love, isn't it? Sovereign mercy. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. We say with the Apostle Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am. And he said in the rest of that verse, his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that's within me. I labored, but it was his grace in me that caused me to labor. And what a faithful servant the Apostle Paul was. I mean, we've studied his record, haven't we? All through the book of Acts, all his epistles, all of his writings, how he was hated and hunted and hounded and browbeat and whipped and chained and imprisoned. And he kept right on preaching Christ. Kept right on preaching Christ. When are we to bless the Lord? When are we to praise him? At all times. You see that in verse 1? At all times we are to trust him, believe him, and worship him at all times. Before trials come, before trial and trouble come, and in the trial and afterward, in bright days and dark days. Trust him at all times. Praise him at all times. When you're up, when you're down, when you're happy, when you're sad, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I was reading through the book of Job recently and ran into this familiar verse. Man is born of woman. Few days, full of trouble. Is that your experience? Our Lord said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. I've overcome. That's our hope. That's the reason we can praise him and bless him and worship him. He's overcome. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know why it's in his mouth? Because it was in his heart. That which is in the well of the heart... That which is in the well of the heart, and we often point to our chest, that which is in the well of the heart comes out through the bucket of the mouth. When God's made us new creatures in Christ, and we know that salvation's all his doing, what do we say? Well, I thank myself for what I've done. No, we say, thank you, Lord, for saving such a wretch as I am. When God gives a new heart in regeneration, that new heart always speaks true and right and glorious things about the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me. He saved his people by his grace. Therefore, he says, this praise shall continually be in my mouth because he's made me a new creature in Christ. He's given me a new heart that loves things that I did not love before. Now, because of that, verse 2, my soul shall make her boast. We boast, not in the flesh. We don't boast in what we have done. We boast in what he has done for us. That's the difference between salvation by works and salvation by grace. Those who believe that salvation is by their works, they always boast in what they have done, what they have accomplished. We always boast in what he has done for us. And there's totally night and day difference in those two things. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. We glory only in the Lord. And talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness that he's provided for us. Blessed is that man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. The redemption we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. We boast in him. And the humble, those who are humbled by his grace, shall hear and they shall be glad. Now it grieves me when I hear those who are religious and lost talk about everything they have done for the Lord. That grieves me. But when I hear those who are humbled by the grace of God, when I hear those talk, those people who are humble talk about what the Lord has done for us, that makes me glad. That makes me happy. I want to hear what he's done for me. I don't want to hear about what I have to do for him. I want to hear what he has done for me. He's done all things well, hasn't he? I've never heard a believer complain. Now notice how I said that. I never have heard a believer complain about a sermon that gave too much honor and glory to the Lord. Or I've never heard a believer complain about preaching God too high or man too low. Preaching God too big and man too small. We preach God absolute sovereign, and we preach man as absolute nothing. His best state, vanity. Now, I've never heard a believer complain that we gave too much honor to God and abased the flesh. I've heard people complain, but not believers. Not believers. I'm always glad to hear about him. God says of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. I want to hear about him. To you who believe, he is what? He's precious. See what he's saying here? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And those who are humbled, they hear that message. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And they'll be glad. They'll be glad. We do rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, let us rejoice. We are the true Israel which worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Look at verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us right now, let us as assembled believers, let us exalt his name together. Isn't that why we're here? To exalt his name, to hear about him, to magnify his mercy, to magnify his grace. Let's exalt his name. His name. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. God has given him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Neither is there salvation in any other name given among men whereby we must be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's exalt his name. He has a lot of names. Has a lot of names. They all exalt him. They all exalt him. Exalt his name. He's worthy. He's worthy of it, isn't he? He's worthy of it. This is why we're commanded to meet together and not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, to publicly preach the gospel and to worship him, that we might exalt his name together. And think about this. The Lord said we're, let's see, what how does that go? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. Think about that now. Think about that. That makes us say with David, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to the house of the Lord to magnify his name, to praise his name, to exalt him. Now look at verse 4. I sought the Lord. Now that's a right and good thing to do, to seek the Lord. Now I know men left to themselves won't do it. He said, our Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me. But it's a right and good thing to do, especially for his people, to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought the Lord by prayer. I sought the Lord by faith. Look over at verse 17 across the page. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. If the Lord hears our prayers and the Lord delivers our prayers, wouldn't it be the right thing for us to do to seek the Lord for help, for mercy, for grace? Seek the Lord at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. All my fears. Look at verse 19. Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We are afflicted many ways. But the Lord delivereth him out of all of them. He's our deliverer. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now look at verse 5. They looked unto him. To whom do we look for salvation, for deliverance? We look to the Lord. He's the only one who can deliver us. They looked unto him. Remember what our Lord said in Isaiah 45? He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, beside me there is none other. They looked unto him. This is a look of faith. That's how we look to the Lord. As we see him revealed in the word and described in the word, by faith we look unto him, who's the author and finisher of our faith. They looked unto him and they were lighted or enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The glory of God shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he's commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to shine in our heart, that we might see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has enlightened our heart, he's revealed himself unto us, therefore we're not ashamed. That's why the Apostle Paul said, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Ashamed of Jesus, can it be? A mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of these whom angels praise, whose glories last through endless days? We can't be ashamed of him. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. I think of that verse over there in 2 Timothy when Paul writes from prison. Remember what he writes to young Timothy? He said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me or the gospel. Don't be ashamed. And then he says, I know whom I have believed And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. Therefore, we have no need to be ashamed. Now, I'm ashamed of me. But I'm not ashamed of him. He's the almighty, all-sufficient God, my Savior. I'm not ashamed to own him as my Lord and as my King. Look at verse 6. This poor man cried. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Now we have example, many examples in Scripture of poor, needy sinners seeking the Lord, blind Bartimaeus, and many others, a woman with the issue of blood. Now, I thought about this. The publican in the temple cried out for mercy. But I thought about probably the best example of a poor man crying unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. What about that thief on the cross? That man was in trouble, wasn't he? Convicted of murder, robbery. The Roman government strung him up on a tree and nailed him. Nailed him right next to the Lord Jesus Christ. You reckon that was an accident? How'd he end up there on a cross right next to the blessed Savior? Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. That's what he cried, wasn't it? This poor man cried, did the Lord hear him? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My soul, I'm going to call. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And the Lord saved him, didn't he? Our Lord said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. That's pretty good deliverance, isn't it? They took that man's body down from the cross, but his soul went to be with the Lord forever. And that dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, the vilest he, wash all my sins away. The Lord saved him. You reckon that dying thief would say anything other than salvation is of the Lord? Oh no. What would he say? Bless the Lord, O my soul. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I will magnify the Lord. That's what that dying thief rejoiced to see. And that's what we rejoice to see too, isn't it? Look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Now we could look at this in a way that I think the primary reference is to the angel or messenger of the covenant. That word angel is messenger. The angel of the Lord here, I think, is in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord that we've studied about in the Revelation. The eternal messenger of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. He encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivers them. Remember our Lord said to those disciples, the risen Lord, before he ascended to glory, what did he say to them? He said, no, I have all power in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, and remember, I'm with you always. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. He delivers them. Call his name Jesus, he shall save their people, his people from their sin. I'm not counting how many times we read in this psalm that the Lord delivers his people. He encamps round about them, the Lord. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He encamps round about them that fear him, and he delivers them. He delivers them by his power, by his grace. Now look at verse 8. The Lord Jesus Christ is the surety of that everlasting covenant. Look at verse 8. Oh, taste and see. Taste and know that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. You remember Psalm 62, it says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Trust in him at all times. Blessed is that man that trusteth him. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Now, let me give you a homely illustration. You can have a beautiful Thanksgiving dinner spread out all over your table. And you can look at it and you can smell it. And you can walk around the table and think about it. But you'll never experience the goodness of it until you eat it. Until you taste and see that, boy, that's a good meal. That's what he's saying right here. Experience God's saving mercy. Oh, taste it. Taste it. Experience it. And see and know that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Everything about him is good. Everything about him is good. He is the only one that is good. You remember that young rich ruler came to him and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. He is the only one that is good. There's none righteous, no, not one. None of us are good, but the Lord is good. Taste and see, experience in your heart that the Lord is good. One old preacher of the past said, we really only believe something when we have experienced it. Isn't that so? We only really believe it when we have experienced it. Now, an experience is not salvation. You can have experience, religious experience, and that's not salvation. But salvation by the grace of God is certainly something that we experience. I mean, we experience the brokenness of heart. We experience the conviction of our sin. We experience God's mercy unto us. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. We experience his revealing of himself unto us. And we taste and see that the Lord is good. And that causes us to do what? Trust him. To trust him. To believe him. To bow to him. Now look at verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, ye his saints. Now, who is a saint? I know certain religious organizations, they make people who have died in the past, and they bring up different evidences of some old person who has supposedly performed so many miracles, and they make that person a saint. Every believer is a saint. Every believer is a sinner sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can say every believer is a sinner and a saint. I'm a sinner in myself, but I'm sanctified in Christ. He is my wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. He's made us sons of God. Now watch this, verse 9, the second part of verse 9. There's no want. There's no want to them that fear him. The Lord is my shepherd. What's the rest of that? I shall not want. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For righteousness, I shall not want. For peace, I shall not want. For restoration, regeneration, reconciliation. There's no want to them that believe him. Those who fear him are those who believe him. Those who believe him. When Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice him according to the commandment of God, and Abraham raised that knife up and was ready to cut the throat of Isaac, and the angel of the Lord stopped his hand, and he said, "Now I know you fear me." He believed God. He believed God. This thing of fearing God is believing him. Believing him. The young lions, look at verse 10. I'll quit with this. Young lions do lack, and they suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that seek the Lord shall not want for any good. And the word thing has been added, but it's okay. My God shall supply all your need. In him dwells all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and you are complete. Complete in him. See, we don't... Think about this. Everything God demands of the sinner, everything God demands, his law honored, righteousness established, sin put away, everything God demands of a sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ has fully provided. Only that which God provides will God accept. Come ye children, verse 11, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you. We've been made sons of God. He said, come unto me, all ye labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come ye children, hearken to me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's see if I can find that. He sent redemption unto his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent in his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever, forever. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad.